Imagine running a massive warehouse. Like you have pallets of inventory moving out on the loading dock, delivery trucks pulling up, and your entire payroll clearing on Friday.
Right, it is a highly tuned machine.
Exactly. And then, without any warning at all, someone walks up and padlocks the main gate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the delivery trucks are still leaving with your valuable inventory, but the cash truck coming back in gets diverted to a vault you do not own and cannot access.
I mean, that is exactly what a payment processor freeze feels like for an operator in the real world. You are still capturing authorizations on your website.
Right, customers are checking out.
Customers are checking out, getting confirmation emails, and your team is shipping product. But the settlement queue just stops dead. That operating cash flow evaporates overnight, and you are left holding the bag.
Well, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are putting on our MyPay Advisor hats for a specialized strategy session. I am your analyst co-host, and I am sitting down with our senior payments advisor.
Glad to be here.
So, we are going to walk you through the Frazen Funds Recovery Playbook. This is our 2026 guide, and it is based on actual processor agreements from Stripe, Square, PayPal, Visa rules, Fed payment systems data, and the latest Nelson report.
It is a lot of dense material for sure.
It is. But our mission today is very straightforward. If you are a U.S. merchant processing anywhere from $25,000 to $5 million monthly, we want to equip you with the exact operational steps to recover your money.
Because if your payment processor freezes your settlement queue, you need to plan immediately.
Definitely. So where do we start?
We need to anchor this conversation right up front in the 2026 financial reality of a freeze. We are not talking about a minor inconvenience here.
No, the math is brutal.
Exactly. At a 25 to 50% annualized cost of capital to bridge a sudden cash flow gap, a 90 to 180-day freeze on just $100,000 of monthly volume will cost you, well, mid to high five figures in interest alone.
Just in interest, that is crazy.
Yeah, it is cold, hard cash burning a hole in your balance sheet while you sit around waiting for a generic email response from a support desk.
That terrifying math is exactly why we are dissecting this playbook today. But before we get into how you actually recover your funds, we need to understand the underlying mechanics.
Right, like why processors freeze cash in the first place.
Exactly. When we look at Federal Reserve oversight guidelines, they define processor risk controls on a spectrum. Like it is not just a simple on and off switch.
Yeah, the Federal Reserve guidelines show us a tiered approach to risk. On the lightest end of the spectrum, you have temporary holds on individual suspicious transactions.
Just one-off things.
Right. Then it scales up to a rolling reserve, where they hold back a percentage of your settled volume for a few months. The next tier is a full account freeze pending a risk review.
And then there is the nuclear option.
The nuclear option is termination with terminal indemnification.
Okay, let us pause and define that jargon really quickly. Terminal indemnification sounds, well, terrifying. What does that actually mean for a business owner?
It basically means the acquiring bank fires you as a customer. They shut down your account permanently and hold all your remaining cash indefinitely.
Just keeping all your money.
Yeah, to cover any potential future losses, chargebacks, or fines you might incur, they're indemnifying themselves using your money.
Wow. But a full freeze is the critical event we are focusing on today.
Exactly.
A full freeze means the merchant settlement queue stops releasing entirely. The cash sitting at the acquiring bank never hits your operating account. And the triggers for this are, entirely mathematical.
Yes, very strictly numbers-based.
According to the Visa rules we reviewed, they mandate acquirer action if your chargeback ratio crosses 0.9% of your monthly transactions.
That is a really tight margin.
It is. And the Visa dispute monitoring program kicks in at 100 disputes per month at a 0.65% ratio.
MasterCard runs a parallel framework. They call it the excessive chargeback program, and they set their threshold at 1.5%.
That there's a catch here, right?
A big catch. Here is the critical thing operators need to realize. Most processor freezes happen long before a merchant ever appears on a card brand monitoring list.
Why is that?
Acquirers freeze first to protect their own exposure. If your processing volume suddenly jumps 3 times your 90-day trailing average, you will trigger their automated flags.
Or if your ticket sizes change.
Exactly. If your average ticket sizes shift 50% from your underwritten baseline, the algorithms catch it immediately.
So I want to understand how this feels on the ground. When that automated flag trips because of a volume jump, is it like getting pulled over immediately by a police officer on the highway?
Oh, definitely not.
So is it more like a traffic camera ticket, like where you speed through the intersection, think you got away with it, and the ticket arrives in the mail days later?
It is entirely the traffic camera scenario. You speed through that intersection and you feel fine.
Ignorance is bliss.
Right. You're happily driving along for 3 days, capturing payments on your site, completely unaware that the algorithm already diverted your cash into a locked subledger 72 hours ago.
Wait, 72 hours?
Yeah, there was a 24 to 72 hour notification gap. The algorithm suspended your funding queue days before human support actually contacts you.
That is...
Operators need to build their treasury runway, assuming they will not even know about a freeze until 72 hours after it has already started.
That traffic camera reality is exactly what creates massive panic.
Yeah.
You log into your barking portal, the money is not in your operating account, and then hours later, the vague notification email finally arrives.
And that is when people make huge mistakes.
Exactly. When operators panic, they make three specific fatal errors that turn a short routine review into a catastrophic cash flow crisis. The first pattern we see is founders completely ignoring the 270-day clause hidden in their terms of service.
This is where reading the specific merchant agreements is vital. Most merchant agreements give acquirers unilateral authority to hold your funds. People just click accept when they sign up.
Nobody reads the terms of service.
Right. But if you read the Square general terms, they cite a 90-day standard hold window. But then you look at the Stripe services agreement and the PayPal user agreement.
Well, they say.
They reference holds that can extend for the duration necessary to complete an investigation.
That is so open-ended.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That open-ended language is the exact lever the processor uses to stretch a 30-day review into 90 days and a 90-day review into 180 days.
Wait, let us pause there. If my money gets frozen and I have payroll on Friday, my immediate instinct is to just, you know, fire them.
Oh, I hear that all the time.
Yeah. I want to plug a new processor into my website and keep the revenue flowing. I have suppliers to pay and inventory to move. Why should I not just do that?
I understand that instinct perfectly, but it is a fatal mistake. You cannot just swap vendors in this industry. A mid-freeze switch prompts your new processor to check the MAT TCH list.
The MAT TCH list.
Yes. MTCH stands for MasterCard's Member Alert to Control High-Risk Merchants file. When you try to jump ship while under an active risk review, your current processor will likely flag you on that list.
Oh, so it follows you.
Very much so.
Yeah.
A MTCH listing stays on file for 5 years and effectively blacklists you from all Tier 1 acquirers. It functions as a soft termination for your entire business.
So a 60-day cash flow gap compounds into a seven-figure permanent problem because nobody else will board your account for half a decade.
Exactly. You have to treat any attempt to switch processors in the middle of a freeze as a permanent banking relationship decision. You have to keep the original relationship open and communicative until the freeze actually resolves.
Which leads right into the third fatal error. Mm. We have all wanted to write that angry email.
Oh, for sure.
A panicked founder hammers out a furious message to customer support demanding their money back before they even pull their contract. What happens when they hit send on an email that says, "You are stealing my money"?
Sending combative messages guarantees your file will be forwarded straight to the legal department. Risk analysts are just humans processing data.
They're just doing their jobs.
Right. They see hundreds of merchant disputes every single month. When you send angry threats to a risk analyst, they do not fight back. They just step back, hit forward to legal, and go to lunch.
And legal is slow.
Extremely slow.
Mm.
That simple emotional reaction just bought you a 90-day delay because legal departments move at a glacial pace compared to operational risk teams.
If you fall into those traps, like if you hit a legal review or catch a MAT TCH listing, the compounding interest on your bridge capital is going to destroy your profit margins.
It really will.
We need to look at the exact financial math of a typical recovery scenario so operators understand what is at stake.
So the Nielsen report provides some really crucial context for why this math exists. They note that processors absorb chargeback losses on roughly 15% of disputed volume.
That is a pretty big chunk.
It is. Processors freeze your funds strictly to protect their own downside exposure on that trailing window. They do not want to be left paying your angry customers if you go out of business.
So they are basically holding a deposit.
Yeah, they're holding your cash specifically to cover that 15% liability risk.
Let us walk through a worked example from the playbook to put hard numbers to this liability. Imagine a direct-to-consumer electronics merchant processing $180,000 monthly.
Okay, pretty standard size.
Yeah. Their average ticket is $85. They use Stripe at a rate of 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction. During a big Black Friday promo, their volume spikes massively to $620,000 in just 9 days.
Wow, that is huge.
It is a 3.4 times lift over their trailing 90-day average. 2 days after the promo ended, Stripe flagged their specific merchant account, what the industry calls a MID or merchant identification number, and froze the next $145,000 in settlement.
Well, the algorithms look at that 3.4 times jump and immediately suspect bust out fraud.
Bust out fraud.
Yeah. Bust out fraud is when a scammer builds a legitimate looking history for a few months, runs massive volume over holiday weekend with stolen cards, and then disappears before the chargebacks hit.
Oh, I see.
The algorithm does not know you just had a great marketing campaign. It just sees the pattern. So now we compare the recovery scenarios using a 25% annualized cost of capital to bridge the cash gap.
Okay, let us look at scenario A.
Scenario A is a fast full release at day 35. That costs our operator roughly $3,500 in bridge interest to keep the lights on.
We really need to clarify the role of the financing instrument here, though. The exact financial penalty depends entirely on how the merchant bridges that payroll gap.
That is a great point.
If they use a standard business line of credit, maybe they get that 25% rate. But if they panic and take a short duration merchant cash advance, which the industry calls an MCA, the math gets brutal.
Very brutal.
An MCA takes a daily percentage of your gross sales, which often pushes the true annualized cost of capital to 50%.
That is the hidden trap that bankrupts companies. Let us look at scenario C, which is an extended 90-day review followed by a 180-day rolling reserve.
Okay, what does that cost?
Your baseline cost there is $8,900 at a 25% rate. But if you use that short duration MCA bridge pushing 50%, you instantly double those penalty numbers.
That is almost $18,000.
Exactly. A single panic decision to take fast money turns a manageable $3,500 problem into an $18,000 working capital nightmare.
So, to secure that cheaper 35-day release scenario, you have to submit the perfect documentation packet within the first 72 hours. Risk analysts work in queue order, right?
They do. A clean, perfectly formatted submission moves fast, while a messy one gets pushed to the bottom of the pile.
Let us talk through the playbook timeline then. We are not just listing steps here. We are looking at a chronological race against the clock, starting the exact moment you realize the settlement queue is stopped.
Right. So within the first hour of getting that notification, you must pull your actual merchant agreement. Yes. You need to find the specific risk management clause, the right to suspend funding clause, or the reserve clause. You have to find the exact section number, like section 4.2, and quote it in every single communication you send.
Then you have to send a single, highly structured written dispute to the dispute's inbox. The subject line is critical here, actually.
Very critical.
It should read, formal dispute, comma, MID number, comma, section XX. Why is that specific phrasing so important?
Because it tells the automated email routing software and the human analyst reading it that this is a contractual escalation.
It gets their attention.
Right. It is not a general customer service complaint about a glitchy card reader. That specific subject line changes how your file is prioritized and routed internally at the processor.
Once they open the email, the content needs to be incredibly tight. Like, keep the body of the email under 200 words, and you need to compile a single PDF.
Yes, just one PDF.
Containing 90 days of processing statements, shipping confirmations, tracking numbers, and supplier invoices showing you actually had the inventory on hand.
The biggest mistake here is sending 5 different emails with 10 random JPEG attachments. Do not do that. Build a single, organized PDF labeled with your merchant identification number.
Make it easy for them.
Exactly. Mark every single transaction over $1,000. Highlight every chargeback and every refund. You have to make it effortless for the tired risk analyst to verify your fulfillment timeline.
Because if it is messy,
if they have to hunt for the tracking number that matches a specific order, they will just put your file down and move to the next one.
Inside that short 200-word email, you also need to ask 3 explicit questions in writing. You ask, what is the exact review window? What specific documentation will close this review? And what reserve percentage will release the held funds?
And you must push to get a named risk analyst assigned to your case. Do not accept replies from a generic disputes alias.
What happens if you get a generic alias?
If you do not get a named contact, your case can recycle back into the general support queue when that specific analyst rotates off their shift.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It is. That single rotation issue will cost you another 7 to 14 days of waiting in the dark.
Let us talk about what success actually looks like here, based on the Federal Reserve and Nilson data. The goal is rarely a 100% immediate release.
Right. Expectations need to be managed.
Operators should not expect the processor to just turn the spigot back on completely and apologize. Most healthy accounts manage to release 50 to 90% of the held funds within 30 to 90 days.
And the rest.
The processor will almost always leave a 5 to 10% rolling reserve in place for 180 days to cover any trailing chargebacks.
That is the hard reality operators must accept. The 5 to 10% reserve is simply the cost of doing business after you trigger a major flag.
You cannot fight it.
No. Your goal in those first 72 hours is not to win an argument. Your goal is simply to get the bulk of your operating capital back online so you can pay your suppliers, make payroll, and avoid taking out high-interest MCA bridge loans.
This brings us to the operational reality check for the merchant listening to this right now. What should they do this week?
The answer is, do not wait for a Black Friday volume spike to test your redundancy. You need to open a backup MID, a secondary merchant account, with a completely different acquiring bank right now.
What is that going to cost them?
Setting up a secondary merchant identifier will cost you roughly $500 to $2,000 in setup and ongoing monthly minimum fees.
A lot of founders will balk at that.
I know founders hate paying for unused software, but look at the math we just discussed. That $2,000 insurance policy prevents the next automated freeze from killing 100% of your cash flow.
It makes perfect sense.
It is non-negotiable infrastructure for any operator scaling past $25,000 a month.
Which brings us right back to that warehouse analogy we started with. You need a second gate. If the algorithm padlocks the front door, you just route your cash trucks to the side entrance without missing a beat.
Exactly. You simply cannot let a single point of failure dictate the survival of your company.
There is a final, really fascinating concept from the Nielsen report that operators need to consider regarding the future of these freezes.
Oh, yes. The new testing frameworks.
Right. The report highlighted that new technologies, specifically testing frameworks from companies like Fime, are building trust layers for AI-initiated transactions.
It is a big shift in the industry.
It really is. Fime provides testing and certification for global payment systems to make sure they actually work as intended. This raises a massive question for the future.
It really does.
If payment processors are increasingly relying on artificial intelligence and machine learning algorithms to instantly flag anomalies and freeze accounts in milliseconds, the game is changing.
It is moving faster than humans can process.
Exactly. Will merchants eventually need to deploy their own defensive AI agents just to rapidly compile these complex documentation PDFs and fight these automated freezes?
That is a wild thought, but it makes sense.
We are looking at a future where algorithmic defense might be just as important as your marketing strategy. It is definitely something to consider the next time you look at your settlement queue and realize the padlock on your warehouse gate was placed there by a machine.